It says, God, give us grace to demonstrate to the next generation all your mighty miracles and your excitement, to show them your magnificent power. For your glorious righteousness reaches up to the high heavens. No one could ever be compared to you. Who is your equal, O God of marvels and wonders? Even though you let us sink down with trials and troubles, I know you will revive us again. Hallelujah. Lifting us up from the dust of the death, give us even more greatness than before. Turn and comfort us once again, my loving God. The harp in my heart will praise you. Your faithful heart towards us will be the theme of my song. Melodies and music will rise to you, the Holy One of Israel. I will shout and sing your praises for all you are to me, or to us. Savior, lover of our soul, I'll never stop telling others how perfect you are, while all those who seek our harm slink away ashamed and defeated. Hallelujah. What an awesome God we serve. Oh, it's so good to see you all here on a Memorial Weekend. I'm going to turn one light on, okay? But we still use the screen, so I don't want to put too many lights on right now. Okay. It's good to see you all. Any first-time visitors here, never been to the Father's house? Raise your hand. We welcome you. Hallelujah. Are you Mandy's parents? Yes. You look like it. Well, I'm glad you came out. Welcome. So if you need a visitor card, I don't know if you are on our mailing list or not, but you can fill this out for us today. And we're going to receive our tithes and offerings right now. So if you like to give through a credit or debit card, you could turn around and Alan is at the back desk and he will get you through the transaction. And if you need an envelope this morning, just keep your hands raised and you can give that way also. If you're writing out a check, just write it out to the Father's house. And it says in Deuteronomy, I was reading this morning, and it reminded me of all the things that God really does for us. It says, Deuteronomy 8:7, for the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land. Say, good land. We're in a good land, right? Land of brooks of water, fountains and springs flowing forth in valleys and hills. A land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates. A land of olive oil and honey. A land where you shall eat food without scarcity and which you shall not lack anything. A land where, whose stones are iron and out of whose hills you can dig copper. When you have eaten and are satisfied, you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given us. Beware lest you forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and his ordinances and his statutes, which I am commanding you today. Lest when you have eaten and are satisfied and have built good houses and lived in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply and your silver and gold multiply, that's for somebody out there, and all that you have multiplies, then your heart becomes proud and you forget. Never forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt or out of the house of slavery. He led you through the great and terrible wilderness. We've gone through many trials and circumstances, right? But he delivers us out of them all. And when we're in the wilderness, he feeds us anyway with manna, like he did in Egypt. But this is the part I want to get to. Otherwise, you may say in your heart, my power and the strength of my hand made me this wealth. But you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who is giving you the power to make wealth, that he may confirm his covenant, which he swore to your fathers as it is this day. Amen. Woo! Yes! We are a blessed people. And he loves to multiply everything. Yay, God. He's the God of increase. Hallelujah. Oh, we're all done? We haven't seen Mandy in a while. You look the same. Yeah, was that one of your voices up there? That one girl sounded like, reminded me of you. I don't. Huh? Do you know her name, that girl I sang? Okay. Well, praise the Lord. Are we ready to pray over the tithes and offerings? All righty then. Okay, Father, we lift up these tithes and offerings unto you today, Lord. We thank you for blessing your people. Lord, we will not forget who you are, because you are the one who provides. You are the one who gives us ideas. You are the one who gives us wisdom when it comes to wealth. You're the one who increases the wealth. You're the one who increases the silver and the gold. You are the one, Lord, that pulls out things out of the ground that are worth lots and lots of money. So, Lord, we thank you for the oil. We thank you for the gold. We thank you for the silver. We thank you for the platinum. We thank you for all the riches that you have planted in this earth for your people. So, Father, we glorify you today in the heavens and on the earth. And, Father, we thank you for Jesus. And we thank you for this increase. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Glory to God. Woo! Woo-hoo-hoo! All right, real quick. Okay, Father's House schedule. Okay, every Tuesday afternoon at 3 o'clock, we have an awesome prayer, intercessory prayer group. Come on out if you're available. Also, we'd like for you to know that our messages are recorded and are posted on our website, tfhcf.org, unless noted that we didn't for some reason. Sometimes we have ministers here that say things that don't want to be broadcasted, okay? But anyway, okay, June 22nd, Sunday, Ed Cowens will be back with us at 10:30. And then I finally got confirmation for July 13th, Sunday. Don and Debbie Gatlin returns at 10:30 with live worship, preaching, and ministry. So we're looking forward to seeing them again. And Don has a word for us. They've been through kind of a wilderness pattern right now, and because she has to take care of her mom, and they're living in her mom's house in Ohio, and they live in North Carolina. And they've been kind of in a dry place. And he said that he kind of got inspired by me that, you know, we need to have passion. So he got a new song. And he said as he was doing this new song, he got a word for me in the church. He said, the drought is over. So I'm telling you today that the drought is over. Hallelujah. And he might tell us that again when they come, but I'm telling you now. So it's raining in here over you. Holy Spirit, come. Well, I'm excited. I don't know. Paul, are you excited? Come on up, Paul. Paul's got a word from the Lord today, and he's going to give us that word from the Lord. Encourage Paul, like you encouraged me.
Hello. Are y'all enjoying the Lord this morning? No, we ain't stopping now. So just, my weekend got off on a little rough start. On Friday, I got fired from my job at the bank. The lady asked me to check her balance, and I pushed her.
Oh, God, don't do that.
You can laugh or groan. Both are very spiritual. So to celebrate after my firing, because I really didn't like working at the bank, I went to the Wawa to get me a nice, delicious hoagie. And as I'm walking in there, this guy throws milk on me. I'm like, did you see that? Did you see that? The people around, they all saw it. I said, how dare he?
How dare he? Oh, my goodness.
All right. These are dad jokes. I love them, you know. I just had to share. Father, I just thank you for I thank you for this time. I thank you how you've led me and guided me, how you've bailed me out. And I thank you for your spirit upon me. I thank you for your spirit filling this place. So we're going to continue to enjoy God. Kind of want to start off by saying, like when I read the Bible, the Holy Spirit really, I really feel like the Holy Spirit puts us in the room. Like we are there. And we engage our imagination with stuff, you know? I remember, like, one time I was reading about the disciples. They were taking the grains of wheat and eating them. And the Pharisees got all upset. And Jesus said, you know, the law was made for man and man not for the law. He says, which of you would pull your donkey out of a ditch if it was stuck on the Sabbath? And my imagination took over, and it was like Jesus is walking into town that Friday night, and here's these rabbis pulling their ass out of a ditch. That's just like kind of how my mind works when I'm reading. So we're going to enjoy God a little bit more by, I want to settle into Psalm 23. I'm not going to read it, but I just want to be there. I want to enjoy the Lord in this whole scenario. So I just say, let Jesus take you by the hand. And he's leading us into green pastures. Sheep love pastures. So we're going in there, we're walking with him, we're enjoying him. He's laughing. He's joyful. That's my God. Then we get over, and there's a beautiful place of water. The Bible calls the still waters. It's comforting. Just enjoy the water. Just enjoy being by the water with Jesus. Now I see a table is set with a big feast. We didn't do anything. He brought us in. He set the table. So we're sitting there at the table, and Jesus says, we need something to drink. And so he's pouring the wine. And I'm like, Jesus, what are you doing? My cup's overflowing. And he's like laughing. He's like, didn't you know I come with more than enough? Just provides and provides and provides. He covers. You know, though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we fear no evil because he's there. He is with us. His goodness and mercy, they follow us. Thank you, Jesus. You're so good. Help us to know your goodness more. Open it up for us. I prepared a quite lengthy message, and I'm not giving it, but I will highlight some of it. So in John chapter 8, verse 1, it says, Jesus walked up the Mount of Olives near the city where he spent the night. This is Jesus' nightly communion with the Father. How he managed to get up and down them mountains all the time, I don't know. He was a strong boy, I guess. He might have used some heavenly tricks to get up there. Who knows? But so I'm imagining him being up there with the Father. And the discussion at hand was probably how to deal with the Jewish leaders who just wanted to question and argue his every word. And it's like, how can we help them believe? I feel like the Father says, just keep giving them the truth and loving them. Reveal their hearts. Show them what our union is like so they could desire the same thing. And as I imagine Jesus on the mountain, one time he went with Peter, James, and John, and something happened. His face shone like the sun. His clothes were dazzling bright, lightning and everything. And it was just awesome. And I really feel like every time he went up on the mountain, this was happening. Why? This ravishing love that the Father and the Son had. They just could not help themselves. I just feel like the Father said, okay, let's just shine together, be radiant. Love and glory, oh yeah. Infinite depths of love and dazzling brightness. Hallelujah, hallelujah. So the next day Jesus appeared in the temple. I find it interesting that it says he appeared. Did he just saunter in? Or did he appear? I don't know, but he's capable of those things. Because at the end of the chapter, John chapter 8, he disappears. So here we go. But while he's teaching there, these guys show up with a woman caught in adultery. And they say, what should we do? What should we do? Moses says, we should stone her. What do you think we should do? And he bent down on the ground and wrote in the dust. And this bugged them. They kept hassling them. What should we do? What should we do? So he stands up and he says, he who has never had a sinful desire, cast the first stone. And one by one, they walked out. And Jesus looks at the woman and says, he wrote on the ground again. So people said a lot of things about Jesus writing on the ground, like writing down people's sins. Maybe the first time he wrote on the ground, he made the Ten Commandments. Maybe that's what it was. I think it's more of a grace thing. Sorry, I need to talk in the mic. So these are the kind of things that I think he might have wrote on the ground. Psalm 32, verse 1. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Proverbs 10:12. Hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all sins. Isaiah 53:5. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. This is where the scenario is. They come with the law, with accusation, with murder in their hearts. Abba's heart is for love and mercy. He's not willing that any should perish. So he says to the woman, where are your accusers? She looks around and says, I see no one. And he says, well, I don't accuse you either. Go and be free from a life of sin. And this wasn't another commandment. This is a word of grace that empowered her to live free. She had this encounter with Jesus. She's looking in his eyes. She's seeing his love. She's feeling his love. Her life was changed from then evermore. The word of grace. So he goes back into the temple and he's talking and they're like, he gets one sentence out of his mouth and they're offended. There's nothing he can say but make them happy. Not one thing. but that at one point, some of them start to believe. And so he says to them to believe, if you continue to walk in my words, you'll be free. And that offended them. It offended them so bad. We're sons of Abraham. We're already free. And he's like, if you were sons of Abraham, you'd act like Abraham. You wouldn't be wanting to kill me. I love you, Jesus. So they go on and on, and finally he's like, they say, God, God's our father, Abraham's our father. Jesus says to the new believers, you act like your father, the devil. When did we talk to new believers like that? So, I just want to say, who's your daddy? What do you come in agreement with? There's things that we carry out of habit, maybe. We could have prejudices or resentments towards others, feelings of not being good enough. Every year, the same time of the year, this is what my life is like. Not good. We cannot, we must not. We have to repent. We have to look at the things that God says, his promises, his goodness, his love and desire for us. Hey, hey. Silence is okay. It's a time to let things sink in. One time in the chapter, Jesus says, you're from below, and I'm from above. And it just made me think of the song that I wrote recently called Born from Above. Came on. Born from above, born of water and the Spirit. So, even though he came from heaven, he was born of a virgin, just an earthly style birth, and he became like us. He was human. But he was the firstborn of the new creation. When we're born again, when we're born from above, we become the new creation. We become like him. He was the model for our lives. Kind of like what we see here is what Jesus is dealing with is like a religious spirit, sort of. I wish all the religious spirit would come out of me. He's dealt with a lot. I want it all gone because I just want him. This is a desire of our hearts, to want him. You know, it's like they made the law almost their God, more so than God. And a lot of that has filtered into Christianity. Jeremiah says, what did he say? I didn't write it down. Jeremiah says, there's two evils I have against you. One, you've rejected the living waters that I provide for you. And two, you built cisterns for yourself. And they're cracked and have holes in them, so they hold no water. The drought is over.
That's right. Amen.
We love the river. We love the flowing water. The kingdom of God is a flow. We got to keep up. We have to keep up, swim downstream. So they keep badgering Jesus about who he is, and he says, Abraham, rejoice to see my day. They said, how do you know Abraham? You ain't even 50. He says, before Abraham was, I am. At that point, they gathered up their stones again. These people wanted to stone somebody bad. They picked up their stones. They were going to stone Jesus to death. But it says he just walked right out of their midst. And I really feel this was a supernatural thing. I don't know what it is, but somehow he changed the realm where he was invisible. There are realms in heaven, and I feel like we're probably going to have access to them soon. When Rob was here last month, I think it was, I was sitting down there where Trish is, and over here, I saw a door. And then I saw Jesus looking through the door. And then he stepped back, and Barry was looking. What can this mean? And that says, I feel Barry all the time. He's haunting us. I said he's haunting us. No. This is what I feel. We're coming into a time where heaven wants to engage with us in a different, magnificent way. Doors over here, the portals, doors, portals, doors, portals, windows. All of heaven wants to engage with this house. It's being prepared. So So I really feel like our enjoyment of God is what is going to carry this thing. We have to be intimate. We have to be in union. We have to love Him. We have to love what He's doing with us. So I brought this meditation for intimacy with me, and we're going to go through that now. And I've been using this for a little while now. Actually, I got fixed up for today doing this because I was a mess last night. Oh, we battle. How we battle. But now we're not gonna battle. We're just gonna put our head on the pillow. So just take time, let's still ourselves. Take a deep breath. Take several deep breaths. Rest your brain. Open your heart. Enlarge our hearts to receive, Lord. So I'm going to ask you to repeat after me. But these are your words. You're not just saying what I'm saying. These are your words to your God. I love you, Father. And you love me. Just feel that. I love you, Father. And you love me. I love you, Jesus, and you love me. I love you, Jesus, and you love me. I love you, Holy Spirit, and you love me. I love you, Holy Spirit, and you love me. I am in you, and you are in me. We are one. I am in you, and you are in me. We are one. I am my beloved's, and you are mine. We are one. I receive your delight in me. I delight in you. I receive your joy in me. You cause me to be joyful. I am the temple of the Holy Spirit. You fill me with light and life. Your life enraptures me. I love your light and life. Your kingdom is within me. Your kingdom is glorious. I'm at home in your kingdom. I thank you, Lord, for entangling me in your goodness. Everybody okay? Anybody need a ride home? Someday, soon, we'll have to have some designated drivers because the wine will be flowing. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, church, for putting up with me. Love you. And there's one other thing I forgot to say. So, we have to learn to love Easton. We have to learn to love Easton. God loves Easton. We have to love him with him. And he'll show us. There's going to be things we can do for Easton. That's it. Oh, yes. I printed out copies of the meditation prayer for intimacy, and they're sitting on the back table back there. If you would like one, take it home with you. I hope it really engaged you for union with our Lord and continue in it. You'd be amazed at what happens. I love you. Thank you. Love you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Oh, okay. He did good, right? I know what it feels like the first time you got to preach. Ay, ay, ay. Well, you did a good job. All Holy Ghost. That's all you need. You just need the Spirit, and it's fine. You got to get the flesh out of yourself. Get the flesh out. Flush it out. Let's make room for the Spirit, right? Lots of room. Lots of room. Well, if you need prayer today, we're here for you. We'll come into agreement. Is there anything out in the back? Where's Jim? What happened to him? Okay, if you want to help yourself to whatever they got in the back, please do that. Have an awesome weekend. This is a holiday weekend. Stay safe and sound and enjoy each other's company and eat lots of food and be safe on the highways and the byways. And let your light shine before all men. Amen. God bless you all. Once again, come on up if you need prayer today. God bless you. Have an awesome week.
You're the God of this.